DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Hey, welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James. I am with Samantha today.
And hello.
Everyone else can just fuck right the hell off.
We told them not to come.
Yeah. We wanted some alone time.
Behind or anything.
We felt we hadn't connected as friends in a while, and we just told everyone to, stay home. Do what you got to do. So we have to talk about it. There's no way we can get around it. This past weekend, we had some of the worst tragedies this country has seen in, I don't know, what, 2-3 weeks now?
Oh, I don't mean to laugh, but like that's it.
No, at this point, it's gallows humor.
Right, exactly.
You either laugh or you cry, and I've been on the verge of both all day. So if you don't know, and I don't see how you can miss it, but if you don't know, Saturday, in El Paso, at a Walmart, a young white male entered the Walmart with a automatic rifle and shot and injured up to 50 people and killed, I think the count's up to 22 now. Two people have died in the hospital, so 22 people. So essentially almost 80 people this guy hurt and or killed. 13 hours later in Dayton, which is not terribly far from you, Samantha.
Not really.
A young white male went into a nightclub district and opened fire and killed 9 people, and I'm not sure how many he injured, including his sister. So we've talked about it on the show, we have a serious, I'm not even going to call it a gun problem, we have a serious violence problem in this country.
Yes.
And, of course, this all happens and all the talking heads come out of the woodwork to point fingers and lay blame. And it really irked me. It really irked me because not only are they all wrong, but they're all right in their finger pointing. But the one thing that no one talks about or they try to avoid is the fact that we have a gun problem in this country. But the gun problem is only part of the bigger problem. We have a mental health problem in this country. We have a race problem in this country, a racial hatred problem in this country. We have a violent culture society. We have a lot of these problems, and they're not getting solved, and they're not getting solved because everyone stands up to point fingers and hold up shields against whatever their cause is. Mm-hmm. And we are at the point now that either we all need to put down our shields and come to the adult table and talk this out and work it out, or we need to just start killing everyone off because the human race cannot survive. We are as dysfunctional as it comes, and we're not solving the problems, and we're not meeting the needs of the people who need help because we're too interested in keeping our guns or whatever it is sacred to us. And it's gone too far now.
Well, and, I mean, that NRA money, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's even worse than that.
Gotta have that.
So I'm pissed off about that, but
being sarcastic if anyone has any doubt.
I'm so pissed off about that. Then our president comes out to condemn all of this, and it was the most hypocritical speech I have ever heard in my life. And I have it, And I'm on the fence on whether or not we should play it. It's clear he didn't write the speech, and it's clear by watching it, he didn't want to give the speech.
Well, he never does. He does not care.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, like, I'm on his Twitter feed right now. I don't follow him. I just go to his feed often enough. But I'm just like, because I love reading the comments. But I just, I can't. You know, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as in all caps, one people. Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided. We must seek real bipartisan solutions that truly make America safer and better for all. But I'm like, one, you didn't write that.
No.
There's and it's grammatically correct. Like, he didn't write. I mean, the only thing that whatever staffer wrote this was that they put something in all caps to make it look more Trumpy.
Yeah.
Which is to say idiotic. And you can see that in just this tirade of tweets that you're like, you didn't write a single one of these. Texas and Dayton, Ohio, die in vain. Likewise for those who seriously wound, those so seriously wounded, we can never forget them. And those many who came before, Republicans and Democrats must come together and get strong background checks. Perhaps marrying this legislation with desperately needed immigration reform.
And there it is, right there.
Good, if not great, come out of these two tragic events.
Right there, even in this tweet storm where he's supposedly trying to feel for the victims, he puts out his political agenda.
Well, yeah, that's because he knows it's good for him.
Yeah. So, for those who don't know, a while ago, and I'm not sure when, and I'm sorry, I should have done the research, but a while ago, Trump actually rolled back Obama-era things for background checks. And there were some things in place. Obama had put things in place, some really small gun control measures, but they were, you know, they were, I don't even know how effective they were, but they were there. They were in place. There was background checks, mental health things that maybe could have prevented. I don't know. Trump rolled them back.
And well, yeah, there are some states they took away, like, the wait period.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there was stuff. Trump rolls them back. So today, in his speech to address the happenings over the weekend, he states, and I can go to the audio, he states we need tougher mental health control and goes off about how one of the shooters had all these red flags and nothing was done and all this other stuff. He's the guy who rolled it back. And then he proceeds to talk about how full of hate the internet is and how social media is tearing this country apart.
He's the giant part of that. Good God. What?
And then
delusional nut job he is.
And then, and you'll love this, Samantha, then he goes off about how hate is tearing this country apart and hate has no place in this country. This coming from the biggest source of hatred on the internet and in this country. It's like he has no clue that it's him. And his rhetoric, a couple of days ago when he was in the Texas Panhandle for one of his rallies, he was talking about immigration and blah, blah, blah. And he said something to the effect of, hey, what are you going to do? And someone in his audience shouted out, shoot them.
So I watched that clip.
And he laughed.
I was watching a section on Morning Joe.
Yeah.
And they played that clip. Three times in a row. They had the El Paso, one of the, not mayor, ooh, crap, I forgot who it was. But one of the political,
pundits.
Yeah, in El Paso, she was wonderful, to talk to, and she was very eloquent and, It was really heartfelt. Like, I was at work, and I'm like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. anyway, but they played that clip, like, three times back to back to back, and Joe Scarborough was just like, play it again. Does this sound right to you? Play it again. Does this sound like the person that should be running our country? Play it again. And I was like, damn. So, yeah, I heard that one a lot today. It was really intense in the news today.
It's just, to me, this whole thing, it's so fake. It's so disingenuous. And it's so apropos of our current administration. And it's hateful is all it is. It's.
No, he does not care about a single human being.
Other than of course not.
And his daughter wife.
It's.
And she, you know, is only. He only cares about her because he thinks she's pretty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And again, I know on this show, whenever we get on one of these political tirades, it's usually anti-Trump and all that. Here's the thing, and I want listeners to understand this. If this were a Democrat doing the same thing, I would be all over them. This isn't Democrat or Republican. This isn't Trump or Hillary. This is about a terrible person who is supposed to be our leader, the one person we should be able to look to as an example of what we as a nation should strive to be. And it's not this guy.
No.
It's really not.
Well, okay, so I was talking to someone a little bit ago after Trump had his after he facilitated the send her back chant.
Yeah.
And did nothing to stop it. He let it die down by itself, and he was happy with the chant.
Oh, yeah.
And he came out and saying, and he came out and said, oh, no, well, I don't. I tried to stop it. I tried to speak, and, oh, I didn't like it. I didn't like that they did that. Oh, and he tried to distance himself from it. Now, my question is, and I genuinely would like to hear from someone who was in that crowd and chanted with them and meant it. Like, I want to know how they feel about this, because this just proves that Trump is a flip-flopper. He's a liar, and he does not care, because immediately once he got backlash, he tried to distance himself from you, the people that he swore to protect, from the people whose side he's on. So it doesn't matter if you're left, right, or center. He's going to flip on you, and that's exactly what he did to that crowd. So how can you follow someone and believe in someone and trust someone who just threw you under the bus after he was happy about what you were chanting?
Yeah, exactly. This is not a guy who cares about you. And honestly, this is not a guy who cares about... To be fair, I honestly don't think he gives a flying rat's ass about immigration. Or anything
no,
like
he
that.
Doesn't,
it's a smokescreen to cover his base so he can get more money.
Well, yeah, but he's going to end up screwing his base over because he's going to throw them under the bus just like he did with
his
base.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. His actual base is not the people who go to his rallies or the people who vote for him. His base are the 1% who control the wealth in this nation. He cares about corporations. He cares about the rich. He cares about people who can give him money. That's all he cares about. He does not give a shit about anyone. He would throw any one of his family, except for Ivanka, under the bus if it meant saving his ass.
Under the bus, I'm sure.
No, because he wants to have sex with her, and if she's under the bus, he can't do that.
Well, yeah, but if she's anywhere near a bus, he can grab her pussy, so it's fine. No, it's hard to say. I think he would throw her under the bus if it meant he did not get in trouble.
Yeah.
If he could save her, he would. But he would leave her behind if it meant saving only his skin.
Yeah. His ass is the only one that matters in all seriousness. He is out for number one, and number one is Donald J. Trump. He does not give a shit about this country. He does not give a shit about your politics. He doesn't give a shit about the right's politics, the left's politics. He doesn't give a shit about immigration. He is simply trying to stay in office
to
change laws to his benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is no doubt in my mind that he committed crimes during his campaign.
100%.
But for whatever reason, the Justice Department and Robert Mueller decided not to do anything about it. I think Mueller was very clear in and we haven't had a chance to talk about it during his questioning.
Yeah.
His testimony. God, yeah. Brain, fucking function.
Words, mother.
I think he was very clear in his testimony that, yes, there was evidence of wrongdoing, but because he is a sitting president and because of certain influences, they can't touch him. They just can't.
Well, they can. He chose to leave it in the hands of Congress. Like, here is the evidence. If you feel you have enough, then you can move forward. He did not want to make that determination, and I can understand that. But he gave his recommendation.
Yeah.
But, you know, which is pretty much, I interpret his recommendation as, you've got everything you need.
Yeah, and that's hats off to Mueller too, because during that whole thing, he exactly like you said, he was basically, look, here it all is. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. And
like, not being in the same room is hard because I'm so sorry. You go ahead, finish your thought.
I really think that he set it out there, like you said, here it all is, here's everything you need, do what you will, and because our Congress is so divided and the Republicans are doing their best to cover their own asses, and Democrats can't get on the same page about all this, he is essentially exonerated by lack of action.
By default, yeah.
Yeah. It's not that he's not guilty. He's exonerated by lack of action on the part of our government. And it comes down to the fact that the Republicans don't want to touch it because if they do and he's kicked out of office, that's a major defeat for them. And Democrats can't do it because they're all out for their own interests and not for the country's. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. So that's what I'm saying it is.
Well, I feel like the Democrats, especially like the 20 that are in the presidential race right now, they're just not I don't feel that most of them, especially the front runners, I feel that they do care about the country and they want what is best, but they're going about this in the wrong way.
Yes.
I feel like they're focusing on the wrong things. Chris Cuomo did a great bit on what they should be focusing on versus what they are focusing on. So I think they don't have their heads right. And it's so much to get around and to wrap your head around. Once we narrow down the field, I think more and better things will emerge, but it's just, this field is just too big, too many people, too many things happening. So I'm just kind of like, all right, we'll wait till there's 10 and then see what happens, because I just can't with the noise right now.
Yeah, and here's what I think should happen. Whether it will or not, I don't know. But I think the Democrats need to come together. I think they need to decide quickly who the very best candidate is.
Come together.
Maybe they'll sing that song. I don't know. and I think they need to come together. And I think they need to put their heads together and go, okay, who is our best chance to defeating Trump? Because the Republicans aren't putting anyone else. They're putting all their eggs into the Trump basket. And it could hurt them or hinder them. I don't know yet. And I won't know until next year when all this really ramps up. But I think – and they've got some really solid – the Dems have some really solid – standouts.
There is, yeah. They're
but they have to figure out who's going to be the best one, not just to get the Democratic base fired up, but also to get those who are disenfranchised by Trump, Republicans, and pull them to their side.
And that's a big ask.
It really is. It really is, 100%.
And again, there's too many people, but right now, I don't think that's Biden.
You know, I think you're right. I don't know that Biden is the guy. However, I will say...
Yeah, when he threw his hat in the ring, I was like, yeah! But now I'm just like...
Yeah, and here's where I am. As much as I want to like Biden, I think he's coming in with too much baggage.
Yeah.
And the other candidates are really poking at him. And the thing is, though, is I think Biden is the strongest one to be able to debate Trump and make him look like a bigger idiot. I think Trump is really good at spin.
Make him look like an idiot.
Well, the thing is people like you and me, yeah, we're no matter what he says, he's going to look like an idiot. But to the general populace, to the average Joe, Trump is so good at spin that no matter who goes against him, he's going to spin it and make them look like an idiot. We need someone who's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Trump and re-spin whatever he spins and make Trump look like the bigger idiot. That's really hard to do. Like, love him or hate him, Trump has got charisma up the wazoo.
For people who are still enchanted by him, yes. And who don't know him, yes. But for people like you and I, no.
Yeah.
Not at all. And I can't wrap my head around why anyone is still enchanted by him.
It's because he talks.
Once you see the level of insanity.
Well, if
your glasses are broken, your rose-colored glasses are gone.
Yeah. If you look at his track record and compare it to Obama's or even George W. Bush, he's done nothing. He's done nothing his whole presidency. All he's done, the majority of his presidency, is campaign for his next campaign.
Right. He started campaigning immediately.
Yeah. He has done literally nothing. And that's
the only part of the job he likes.
Yeah. He likes being out in front of the people because he gets the accolades that his ego needs.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that on this show a thousand times. He is so ego-driven that he cannot do the job that is required because it doesn't feed his ego. And the proof is in the pudding because, again, I saw him today reading that speech. There was no emotion. There was nothing. He was robot Trump today. He did not want to be out there. He did not want to give the speech. He didn't mean a damn thing he said. He just doesn't care.
I wonder if he was still like reality TV America's Uncle Don, which he should have stayed there.
Yeah.
If he was still that today, he would be tweeting something like, yeah, shoot more of them. And we'd be like, oh, Uncle Donnie. But I'm pretty
sure. No, I guarantee you. I guarantee you if he was still Uncle Don.
He's still railing about
he wouldn't say anything about shoot them. I guarantee. Because he's not that guy. The thing is, I don't think he's that guy. I think this is all an act. And that's the immigration is the thing that's getting him the most glory, the most attention. So he's hammering on that. He's been hammering on that ever since the you know, lock her up chant and he won. The only thing he's had to stand on is immigration. Because the health care fell through, everything he touches turned to shit, but immigration is still the thing that gets him the biggest pop.
Well, you had said that it's an act, and I 100% agree. But then you start thinking of it like from a psychological point of view. His entire life has been an act. He does not have an original thought. He does not have any genuine bone in his body. Nothing is him. He's a performance through and through. He is not a real person.
You know, people talk about millennials and how entitled they are. But the guy running the country has lived his life entitled.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, don't point your fingers at millennials and go, oh, they just want what, you know, what they think is owed to them. Look at our president. The guy grew up rich. Best schools. Didn't have to go to Vietnam because daddy, you know, paid someone off. Everything he touched, you know, turned to gold somehow. Even when he failed, he won. You know? So it's, this is, he, Donald Trump is the epitome of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now in a spot where there's far more criticism on him than has ever been. And you're seeing him crack. You know, the tweets are the biggest sign of his narcissism, of his armor cracking, because he's never been under the scrutiny that he is right now. Every single day, there's something bad about him and nothing good. And when there's not, and that's why he gets so fired up and is like, fake news and everyone's against me and witch hunt and no collusion and all that shit, because it's, he knows he's a fraud.
Yeah, yeah. And if he actually faced that and admitted it, he would probably, his brain would literally explode.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he cannot handle that. He is such a delicate Fabergé egg of a human. That one tiny little dink and he will shatter.
Yeah.
He can't handle it.
Yeah.
He's, oh my gosh, he's such a giant baby.
Yeah. So I think, and I know we will talk about it at great length come 2020 when the election cycle starts up again. And I know Bryce will be fired up, and I'm sure once it starts up, we're going to see a lot more Bryce. I think he's going to make time for these shows because he is – of the four of us, I think he is the most politically aware.
He is,
like,
yes.
Bryce feeds off this stuff, and thank God he does, because I don't have to. I think 2020 is going to be a very important year for this country.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. It's going to be scary. It's going to be...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Everything any horror movie should be.
We're either going to turn a corner or we're going to melt down completely. I honestly think that if Trump wins, this country will melt down.
Oh, it's melt... Yeah, it's already happening. It's just going to get... It's going to double its pace, though.
Yeah, but I think we're seeing a lot of mass shootings right now. But I want you to just... for a moment, imagine that he wins a second term.
Mm-mm.
And all of his rhetoric is essentially, you know,
validated.
Validated. I want you to imagine just for a moment that all the people who follow him like he's the Messiah, the second coming of the Messiah, and the violence that will break out in this country because of it. And then I want you to imagine that the other side feels that the only way they're going to be heard is through violence.
Well, there was, who was it?
Because I really think we're at that tipping point right now.
I think it was still Morning Joe where they were talking about, do you think there's, oh, no, 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 it was an independent news source. I can't remember which one it is. It's a YouTube show. I can't remember which one. I feel bad about that bald guy. I don't know. Whatever.
Bald Guy News. Look it up on YouTube.
Yes, Bald Guy News. I think it's like ROF. I don't remember. But he was talking about, I think it was him, talking about violence. Do you think there's going to be violence if Trump loses? And you bringing that up, there may be violence whether he wins or loses.
I have no doubt that there's going to be violence. No matter the outcome. But I really firmly believe in my heart of hearts that if he wins, we're going to see violence on a scale we have not seen in this country since the Civil War. Now, if he loses, again, I know there's going to be violence, but I don't think it's going to be as bad. I'm sorry, I'm distracting. My neighbors are fighting again.
No, you know what?
I should go downstairs and let them know they're on my podcast now.
So anything you say can be held against you.
Just so you know, we can hear you. The mics pick it up. It's great. Anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. I hate in my heart that I feel like that's going to be what's going to happen. I wish we were better. I really do wish we were better. But the last 3 years has seen such a huge divide, a splitting of the country that – it's going to take years to fix. It's not going to be the next president or the one after. Maybe the one after that. I mean, it's probably going to take 4, maybe even 5 presidents before we see this country heal.
On a national and international scale.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because whoever the next guy is has got to fix all of the breaks.
All of them.
All of the bridges that have been burned in the last 3 years have to be rebuilt. You know? And it's appalling. You know? I mean...
But then,
I can't
mean,
even.
Can those
I just
even be
can't
fixed?
Even.
I mean, how can Germany ever trust us again? You know, like, oh.
See, here's the thing, though. I think, I
just picked them out of thin air. But
No. And you're 100% right. I mean, Germany, China, several countries that we have had relationships with, they can't trust us right now. But I also think that they're smart enough to realize that once this guy's gone, things can.
Yeah.
Get back to some sort of normal. I think
they could, but where the trust is broken,
yeah,
is with the people.
Yeah,
is they're going to say, "How can we trust your people to put the right people and the right person in charge?"
We're going to have to do so much groveling with the world. Like, hey, look, we fucked up. But the thing is like, again, because of the split. Until we can come together as a nation, we're not going to be able to go on an international stage and go, hey, sorry about that. We got really drunk and this is what happened. We can't do that until we as a people come together and go, hey, dude, all that shit, sorry about that. You know? I mean, it is essentially, this is essentially making up with your ex after several years. You know? This is essentially going to your ex and going, hey, we weren't really good together, but, you know, we were good friends before we started dating. Is there any way we can get back to that? I mean, that's essentially what it is.
I mean, if it's like any of my exes, there's a hell no in there. So. Maybe not the best analogy, but no, I get what you're saying. So, but yeah, it's... la, 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 la.
This is for the sake of the kids being friends with your ex.
No, it's really hard to, it's really hard to articulate all the feelings.
It really is. Because just when you think that you're processing.
Something else happens.
Not just him, but the state of the country, the state of the world brings up new feelings. You can't, we can't process anything. Because before we even get a chance to sit back and go, okay, and take a breath and, you know, something else is going on. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I haven't even gotten through this shit yet.
But, you know, the thing about processing, like, that's processing this stuff is I think what is helping us become numb to it and accepting it as an everyday norm. If you process it, you start to justify it and you start to think, well, it's just another year. We'll get through it. I think the important thing is to just let it all wash over you.
Yeah.
Don't justify anything. Go with your first gut. Is this right or wrong? And it's typically wrong. And stay angry and motivate yourself and everyone around you to fucking vote.
Yeah, and I think...
Because this happened, this was the lowest... When Trump got elected, this was one of the lowest voting years we have ever had since the 80s.
Yeah, and why that was is because there was so much dirty pool in 2016. There really was. And then when the people... When the guy that people wanted to vote for left, for whatever reason, I have my suspicions, but for whatever reason... You know, they had two options, and both candidates were so polarizing that they voted for one or the other based on their hatred for the other.
Yeah. Well, in hindsight, 2020, no one knew that Trump was really this much of a psycho and this bad as a businessman. Like, no one really – like, we all kind of were like, man, you're just a rich boy, but we give it to you. It's fine. No one really knew what it was going to be like.
Well, the thing is people like Trump because he said what I want to hear. He said what, and that was the thing. He said what you wanted to hear, not the truth.
Yeah.
Again, that goes to his charisma. He knew his base. He knew what he was going for. I heard today audio where he came out during his campaign saying, I love uneducated people.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that too.
Why is that? Do you think? Is it because uneducated people are easier to manipulate?
Yep.
Hell yes. They can't think for themselves because they don't have the tools to think rationally. And that goes to another problem we have in this country, and that's education. We've talked about that on this show. Honestly, if I could have a magic wand and the only thing I could do was do things to fix this country, the number one thing I would do, fix education. I think if you fix education, you fix a majority of problems. Now, it's going to take some time because people have got to go through school and stuff. But I think you pay teachers more. I think you get rid of private schools and you take those teachers and you put them into public schools and you give everyone the exact same education. And you make it hardcore. And if people can't handle it, fuck that No Child Left Behind. You give them extra time. You get the, you make sure they have tutors. And I think you make college cheaper. And I think you make it more appealing to students. You know, and I would even go so far as to what they do in Israel. And I think that everyone serves in the military for at least 4 years. Then they get the college education. Mandatory
military service. Yeah. I am all for that. 2 years and go to school. You know, like I think it's
and especially if you want to run for public office, if you want to be a congressman or something, if you don't have military service on your see, I would even take it back. Okay, you don't have to do military service, but if you ever want to run for a public office and you don't have military service in your background, you are automatically disqualified.
Well, there are other programs, like there's other government programs, because some people, of course, they cannot serve active duty in the military. So there are other programs that they can do for, you know, 2+ years or turn into a career, whatever they'd like. But like a 2 year, you know, going to the military for 2 years between this age and this age, like in South Korea, you have a certain age range that you have to complete it by. And you could do it at any time during that. Like one guy that we have Katusas, which is Korean Augmentee to United States Army. And they have a lot of the military training from the Army, and it's a really great program. We have a great relationship with our Korean brethren. But he went to school in the States, left school to come do his 2 years, and then went back to school.
Yeah. See, I think that's 100%. I think that would totally work in this country. I think if you set it up and say, okay, between the ages of 18 and 30, let's just give it a wide range, you have to serve 2 years in the military, mandatory.
At any time.
You could go to – you could – right out of high school, you could go do it. You could do 4 years of college, 2 years of college, whatever you want to do it before you get into a job. And I think also, too – you make it to where if you do your military service and you serve in a combat situation, you get first crack at a job. Employers have to offer you the job if you're qualified for it before they offer someone else.
Well, yes.
But I think that kind of may or may not work because, again, military service, if everyone's doing it, a lot of people are going to be serving combat just because that's the nature of the beast.
It creates a very level playing field, and I think it sets a lot of people up for life outside of your home.
Yeah.
And it sets up a community camaraderie. You know, I've been out of the military since 2012. And or 2011, and I still have some issues dealing with some civilians. You know, it's there is such a level of entitlement in corporate America, and me, I, that I still have a hard time with.
Yeah,
and
we civilians
are the
worst.
Some of that in the military too, but I never, you know, it was we always lifted each other up.
Yeah,
you know. You don't stand on the backs of someone else. We all stand up together.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think our country really needs. And I think Mando service is something that could facilitate that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of things we could do in this country. And again, if I had the magic wand for 24 hours, with the caveat that I can only use it to fix this country, I think I could do it. Now, I'm not saying it would be perfect. I'm as flawed as the next person. But I really think that if you focus on education alone, it fixes a major chunk of what's wrong in this country. And again, you have to wait for the changes because people have got to go through school and get their education. But I think if you fix education, a lot of these problems we deal with currently go away in 10 years.
Well, and I don't think you need to get rid of private schools or anything. If someone chooses to send their kid to a private school, that's their choice. Just like
But at the same time, if you get rid of private schools, and I'm not saying that there's something wrong with private schools. What I am saying is that it sucks that someone who pays for their education or you know, gets their education paid for, gets a better education than people in public schools. I think that starts entitlement. It really does, because those people are coming out with essentially a higher education, because the teachers are paid better, the classroom sizes are smaller. I think if we spread that wealth out and we get rid of private schools, and hold our public education system to the private school standards. And again, give public schooling the funding it needs to be able to live up to those private school standards.
Well, and like I said, that's where I was going to go with that, is that you don't need to get rid of private schools. There's always going to be an option to pay for something better, just like anything. I mean, you want to talk about electronics, you're going to pay a little more for this thing that works better than this thing that may be free or cheaper. So you're going to pay for different levels of things. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. Teaching entitlement starts in the home.
But again, that goes to what I was saying, though. If you're going to a private school because your mommy and daddy can afford to send you to a private school.
Yeah, but then you're saying all private school kids are entitled. So you're generalizing.
I am. I'm totally generalizing.
You don't want to generalize one group of kids because they're poor and have less education, but you want to generalize these kids because they have more benefits.
I just want to generalize because right now I'm really angry.
I know, I am too.
I'm not holding the kids responsible. I'm not 100%. The kids are as much of a victim as anyone else.
Yeah, they are. Like, parent your freaking kids. Don't just let them run amok like assholes.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, teachers absolutely need to be paid more. Teachers need more incentives. Maybe if there's more incentives and more money going into public schools, you can lure those private school teachers out to something where they have more incentive to make a place better.
Well, even better too, if you're getting the money into public schools, you can hire more teachers and spread out the students, so they're getting more time with the teacher and potentially more. And get rid of this, I think they've kind of gotten rid of it, but the whole No Child Left Behind, don't hold all kids to the same standards. Some of them learn slower than others. Some of them have learning disabilities that need time, extra time so they can learn. It's not that they're dumb. They just have a different way of processing, and the teachers need to figure that out for the student so they can better serve the student.
Yep. Well, and parents also need to not hold their kid up on this pedestal like they're perfect.
Yeah, and not blame the teachers when their kid fails. It's not the teacher.
It's not the teacher's fault. It's your kid or you that – is failing. So either your kid's being an asshole and distracting everyone in the class, trying to be cool because you don't discipline them, or they do have a genuine learning issue, but you don't want to accept it just because, I didn't have that, so my kid doesn't. That I'm not defective. Neither is my kid. They're not defective.
No, the kid's not. It's not. The kid isn't defective, and the teachers aren't defective. It's you.
Yeah. They just learn differently, and you just need to accept that. And there's nothing wrong with that. My brother and I learn very differently.
Yeah. It's all bullshit. And again, if there was a magic wand that I had, that's the number one problem I would fix. And I honestly believe that you fix education, you fix a good majority of the problems in this country. And you have to wait 10, 15 years before you start seeing those changes. But yeah. I guarantee you, you fix education, you focus on education, and you fix education, problems solved. Because all these kids are going to come out far more rational thinking, far more intellectual. They're going to look at problems. They're going to be problem solvers, and they're not going to just brush things under, you know, and they're not going to follow fucking rhetoric just because, you know, people are holding up signs and, you know, garble, you know.
I honestly think the number one issue in our education system, I mean, other than not paying teachers enough, is the hyper-focus on standardized testing.
Yeah.
That needs to go right out the fucking door. Stop with the standardized testing, because, again, everyone learns differently. I test horribly. That's just something, but I just can't get, you know, like, if my teacher reads it to me, I can tell you everything.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting, like, that's just the way some people are. But get rid of standardized testing and bring back art and music, because that's what helps create and develop your critical thinking.
Exactly.
Skill.
Yeah.
And taking art out and just hammering the standardized testing, you know, where everyone's going to learn it.
Yeah, no.
You know, we're not teaching kids how
memorization is not learning.
We're teaching kids to memorize. That's exactly it. And that's stupid.
So, okay, we've gone on a tangent for a while.
Back to zero, Trump's stupid speech from stupid mouth.
We've got...
So I'm angry too.
Yeah. It's hard not to be. It really is hard not to be. Okay. We've got about 15 minutes left, and I found an article that I thought we could have a little fun with. It pissed me off. But I think it's also kind of...
early.
It's kind of fun. So back in 1973, MIT was working on a computer... or working with some sort of computer program that they invented. This computer predicted when civilization will end. There's been lots of things about when civilization is going to end. Who can forget the Mayans in 2012? So they called it World One. And they pretty much – now my computer is freezing up. Why are you freezing up? Stop freezing up.
The world's ending, that's why.
Probably.
Today.
So they essentially fed the computer a bunch of facts about history, a bunch of statistics about history and the way things were being done and everything. And the computer kind of took that together and kind of mapped out sort of like the decline of civilization. Not Western civilization, but all civilization. And the prediction recently reappeared in Australian media. Now, here's how it goes. It was reported that civilization will end in roughly around 2040 because of global collapse. That is, if expansion of the population and industry were to continue at their current levels. Back in 1973. I would say that they've surpassed that.
It's going to happen sooner.
So it essentially did was graph pollution levels, population growth, the amount of natural resources, and the overall quality of life on Earth. The model's predictions for the worsening quality of life and the dwindling natural resources so far have been unnervingly on target. So much so that the first milestone envisioned by this computer program comes in 2020. That's when the quality of life is supposed to drop dramatically. And this is a quote. At around 2020, the condition of the planet becomes highly critical. If we do nothing about it, the quality of life goes down to zero. Pollution becomes so serious that it will start to kill people, which in turn will cause the population to diminish and lower than... get to the lowest point than it was in 1900. At this stage, around 2040 to 2050, civilized life as we know it on this planet will cease to exist.
Yeah.
So,
Green New Deal, come on.
We have, 20 years left? So make them good ones. You know what really sucks is this hits on the year that I should be able to retire.
else this coincides with in my head?
Yeah.
The disappearance of the bees.
Yeah. I mean, there's honestly, there's so much wrong in this world that not even talking government, we're talking climate. I saw an article today that Greenland lost 11 million tons of ice in one day. 11 million tons of ice melted in one day. Scared yet? You should be.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
Because I live in a valley, and if the ocean gets above the mountains, it will just pour into the valley. Plus, we got rivers coming in. If those rise up, I mean, we're fucked.
Yeah.
So, what I'm doing now is I'm constructing a paddle boat. Basically a paddle house boat. I've got to figure out where to keep it. But yeah, when the water starts getting so high, I'm just going to live in that. I saw Waterworld. I know it can be done.
The movie was the depiction of our future.
It really was. But on the plus side, I did see something really cool today that made me really happy. There's a company in California, a startup company, that has put together a factory that, and this is so awesome, it uses garbage, it vaporizes garbage, and uses the gases to make clean energy, and it has zero emissions. So here's how it works. So they take a bunch of garbage and they essentially heat it up to hotter than like the heart of a volcano. And the gas that comes out of it, they basically it comes out in three or four gases. I can't remember exactly which, but they take the oxygen out of that and they shoot it right back into the furnace to keep it going. And then the other gases they use to power shit. They were even saying that they were making like jet fuel with these gases.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like, fuck real. How come we don't have more of those? Like,
the problem is, and this is going to be another trip back to angry, is that people care more about money than the longevity of our planet.
Yeah, yeah. Greed has overtaken so much so that we can't, like, nothing will be done because there's no money in it.
We need a different source. We need to go back to the barter system and just get rid of it. I don't know.
I
don't have answers.
As we were talking, I just watched a weather girl that used to work here in Portland who's now up in Seattle. I just watched her on the Blue Angels and they made her pass out.
Oh, no.
I love watching those videos because you know they're going to do it. And the pilots love making them pass out. They always do the G-forces just to make you pass out. So, and kudos to her for putting up the embarrassing I just passed out video.
A friend of mine was a photographer for the Blue Angels, so he's been around them for a while and would always tell us stories. But people are always like, I could do this, it's fun. Like, you'd have like just anyone, any shape, size, you know. They're like, no, I'll be fine. They're always the ones to pass out.
Yeah, I love that stuff. It's freaking hilarious. But 100%. There's far too much greed in this country. There's no money to be made on saving the planet. And the people who have the money are old. They're not going to be here much longer. They don't give a fuck. It's the next generation's problem. I don't have to worry about it.
Well, okay, and no matter your...
And if that's the case, fucking die already.
Yeah, right.
We don't need you.
No matter your religious beliefs or non-beliefs or whatever have you, it doesn't matter for this next statement, is you can't take your money with you.
Yeah.
So why is it that important?
Exactly. There's no point in it at all.
You're taking nothing with you to whatever's next.
We all honestly, we all end up in the same place. So why is it so important that you have all the money? Why is it so important that you can sit back and make millions of dollars sitting on your ass while I'm struggling day after day, breaking my back, doing the hard work and paying your fucking taxes and struggling to get by? Why can't I have a house too? Why can't I have a nice car? Why can't I fucking pay for, you know, my emergency room visits or shit like that? Why can't I pay for food?
You're becoming dangerously close to Trump calling you a socialist.
I know.
And you know what? I don't care. If we can find a way for socialism to work, fuck real. Let's do it. Because fucking capitalism isn't fucking working. And the people who are like anti-socialist are usually the ones suffering the most. And they just don't see it because all they hear is the word socialist. And that's a fucking terrible, terrible word to them. So, I'm sorry. I really feel like some of these democratic socialists have it right. I'm not saying that it will work, but I'm saying they might have it right.
But, so, like, let's give a couple ideas a try. See what happens. Let's flirt a little.
What are we out? Seriously. What would be so bad about giving it a try? It doesn't work? Fine. We go back to the old way. Or we try something different.
You can't innovate without trying, and you can't succeed without failure.
Yep.
You know, like, as fucking, I mean, just stitch that onto a throw pillow, and, you know, like, just, you can't have one without the other. You can't move forward without trying.
Yeah.
And you have to fail in order to know what works and what doesn't. And if you're failing over and over and over again, it's trying to try something different, whether it's a little tweak or completely whatever opposite direction. And call it what you want, Democratic, Republican, Socialist, you know, whatever. It just, as long as it works and it's good for everyone and... I'm not everyone needs to be rich. I don't need to be rich. I don't need millions of dollars. I can, you know, I'm lucky enough at this moment I can pay my bills, but I know that that's not going to be the case, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if everything keeps going the way it's going, and things keep rising and wages don't go up, but
I am slowly having the rent raised every year to the point where I won't be able to live in my apartment. I still have a job, but I won't be able to afford a place to live. I'm going to be living out of my car and going to work. Thankfully, my job has a shower.
Well, and your household is a two-person income.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's still being the rent is being
full-time income.
Yeah.
Not being able to rent an apartment, like how ridiculous is that?
Yeah. The cost of living index needs fixed. It needs to include rent. It needs to include utilities, food, internet, like all the bills that we have, cell phones. No one uses a fucking landline, so cell phone costs need to be put into the cost of living index, and the government needs to sit down and go, okay, dude, with all this shit going on, people are not being able to live. We need to raise wages and tax fucking corporations so they pay employees a solid living wage so people can fucking live. You know? I mean, that's just the way it's got to be, you know? But that's never going to happen so long as we have these greedy fucks still alive. So, you know, the next person who does a mass shooting, hey, instead of shooting the poor in a Walmart, go to some fucking, you know, uber-rich golf course and shoot those fuckers.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I do not endorse that.
I'm not endorsing any sort of violence. I'm really not, but... I'm sick to death of these uber rich people running the country. And that's what it is. That's hands down what it is. It's the greedy running the nation instead of the politicians who happen to be fucking uber rich. Okay. I think I feel better. This hour was pretty cathartic. hopefully next week Danny will be back. Maybe we'll get Bryce in. And hopefully the week is better for everyone. And to all of the victims and the families of the victims of, what was it? Greeley. I think it was Greeley, California, Dayton, Ohio, El Paso. Was it Chicago Bryce told us about?
Yeah.
To the victims and the families of the victims, we give our heartfelt condolences.
Yes.
There's nothing more we can do. We know thoughts and prayers do nothing, but know that our thoughts are with you through all this. So, That's it for us. We will see you next week. Until then, bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.